Out of Psalms 119, verse 32. We're going to be starting in Matthew chapter 18. So thankful for everyone that's been able to make it out this morning. And just a note to remember Sister Betty. She'll be undergoing her eye surgery in the morning. And so they've already departed and went down to be prepared for that early in the morning. Praise the Lord. Did everyone make it for Donut Day? We had donuts this morning. Amen. And so hopefully you enjoyed your donut this morning. Should have got a sugar rush out of that, but it may be burning off right now. I don't know. Amen. I'll do my best to be loud and boisterous. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not just for you, just because I want to. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 18, going to begin reading at verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. How think ye? Good question, isn't it? How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. That's encouraging to me. And then Psalm 119:32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Amen. You can be seated again this morning. Thank you for standing for God's Word, the opening text this morning. Amen. Scriptures should be coming up there behind me periodically as we preach this morning on quit running and run. It seems strange, doesn't it? Well, quit running and run. Whoa. Man, that's kind of a... What do they call that? Oxymoron? Something like, what do you mean? Quit running and run. And that's confusing. Well, hopefully, prayerfully, and by the grace of God, when we finish this message this morning, it'll make sense. Hallelujah. Of why we're going to quit running and run. Hallelujah. Praise God. We read this portion of Scripture this morning about Jesus Christ sharing the illustration, the story of the sheep that's gone astray, and how that the shepherd leaves the 99. You know, this story speaks a lot to me because that means to me the shepherd has got confidence in the 99. And he's got love and compassion for the one that's gone astray. Hallelujah. It's not that he doesn't have love and compassion on the 99 either, but he's got confidence in them that while he's gone, they're going to remain in that green pasture that he put them in. Amen. You see, what I want to deal with here this morning is the fact that, how think ye? Why did the sheep go astray? When the other 99 was just as happy as they could be, rejoicing, if you will, because of the green pasture that the shepherd had led them to. Woo. You know, Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He make me lie down in green pastures. Woo, hallelujah. I shall know, in other words, contentment because of the goodness of the shepherd, the goodness of the pasture that he had put them in. But here we have one that has went astray. And that word astray just simply really means going away from the right path, going away from the right direction, erring in decisions, going astray. So the question this morning I'm presenting to us as we start this, why did that sheep go astray? Because the bottom line of it, he had a reason. In his mind, ever heard that terminology? Well, in my mind, in his mind, for whatever reason, wrong thoughts had been produced. And I realize, you know, if you look at this and you start thinking of the little animal that's kind of fuzzy and woolly, and you're thinking, okay, Brother Pepper, they don't really have thoughts. They don't really, you know, operate that way. We got to understand Jesus is using this as a reality towards mankind. And the sheep are mankind, and the sheep of his pasture especially. And the sheep, and then just other portion of scripture, the sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. But all of a sudden, in this scenario, we got one that ain't following. And it's not because the shepherd's voice is not there. It's not because the shepherd has not provided a green pasture for that sheep to be in. Some reason that sheep, and this is, you know, this is the proverbial, this is where this came from, that sheep thought the pasture was greener on the mountain. That sheep thought that the shepherd didn't really know as much as he thought he knew. That sheep said, well, you know, that shepherd doesn't really know me. He doesn't know how I operate. He doesn't know how I think. This is just proverbial here. This is just trying to answer the question, why? You know, because there's always a reason why we do what we do. As human beings, sometimes we don't want to confess what the reason is. Sometimes we don't want to face what the reason is. But there's always a reason. And if we go astray, then there is a reason why we go astray. You see, when we go astray, this is running. Running from God. Running from the shepherd. Running from the green pasture. Running from the protection. See, there's one thing the sheep didn't think about, but the shepherd knew. That if that sheep is out there on that mountain all by itself, then that roaring lion is coming on the scene. And even though that sheep may have went out there astray with quote-unquote good reasons, that sheep did not remember all things about that mountain. You see, that's what happens a lot of times to people when they go astray. They forget all the truth about that mountain, all the truth about that place you don't want to go to. All they see is the things they think they want. Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just the reality of that prodigal son. You know, once again, the sheep, the prodigal son, and once again, Jonah. I mean, I've got all kinds of scriptures here this morning in Jonah chapter 1. How many remember the story of Jonah? Jonah and the great fish, Jonah and the whale. How many realize that Jonah was a man in communication with God? Jonah was one of the sheep of the shepherd's pasture. Jonah was a prophet of God. But Jonah began running the wrong way. He began to try to get away from what God was talking to him about. And the thing is Jonah had reasons why he wanted to get away from what God was asking him to do. And I just jotted down a few here. It's apparent by Jonah's attitude towards the people of Nineveh that there was some unforgiveness there. There was some bitterness there. There was some anger there. For whatever reason, why it was there, we don't fully understand or know, but it was there, and that is what was causing Jonah to run away from God instead of run for God. Now you're getting a little more of the picture. Quit running. Run. Run. We know the story. God prepared a great fish. You know, Jonah fought this for a long time. When he started running, you see, when you start this path, when you start going away, when you start running from God, and I'm not talking about per se a call to preach. I'm talking about a call to holiness. I'm talking about a call to righteousness. I'm talking about a call to surrender. I'm talking about everything that the Lord does and works and all the good gifts that come down from above require an acceptance on my part. No matter how much God wants to bless me, if I do not want to be blessed, I won't be. Oh yeah, every now and then God will bless me on purpose just to try to wake me up. But if I want more blessings of God and more power of God and a greater fellowship with God, hey, that's on me. That's on you. That's on our walk with God when we quit running and start to run. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we know Jonah fought this for a long time. The storm came upon the sea. Sometimes storms come for a reason not known to anyone but the individual. See, as saints of God, when we see people in the middle of their storm, you know, we're praying, we're seeking God, we're wanting to help them in the middle of that storm. But I have found throughout the years the only time that storm will cease is when they quit running and run. Praise our God. And so we see what Jonah says. Jonah said, throw me overboard. He said, this really shows how much Jonah had a problem in his heart and in his mind. I don't know how it got there. I don't know what the people of Nineveh did to him personally. But it's evident to me, or in my opinion, Jonah had a personal vendetta against Nineveh. And God, because he's not willing that any should perish, went to great efforts to get that personal problem dealt with so Jonah could have the victory. So Jonah could quit running and run. And so we know the story that Jonah said, throw me overboard. I look at that and say, Jonah saying, all right, throw me overboard. If I drown, it's done, it's over, and I don't have to go. And what a stubbornness. Ooh. Jonah trying to figure out how to outwit God. Anybody else ever tried that? We've all tried it, believe it or not. We may not realize we were doing it, but we've all tried it because why? We are human beings. And the carnal mind is an enemy of God. And a lot of times we get carnal-minded and we are trying to outwit God with our own way of thinking and trying to put God in our box instead of getting out our box and getting God's box. Woo, hallelujah. And see, that was Jonah. Jonah thinks, all right, I've got this. I'm just going to drown. Take that. Woo, hello. Oh my, it's amazing how we can get in our minds trying to outthink God, be quicker than anybody else. Oh my, and Jonah was there. I mean, he's on the ship. He's on the way away from Nineveh. He's got it all figured out, and the storm comes up. He knows it's from God. Those men on the ship know it's from some God. They didn't know the God that Jonah knew, but they knew something wasn't right here because this just is not the way it normally goes in this part of the waters. So they all begin to pray to their own gods, except who wasn't praying? Yeah. First sign you're running is you don't want around this altar right up here. First sign you're running from God, you don't want to be in this altar area up here. Now don't misunderstand me. Just because you stay back there and pray doesn't mean that for sure. But that's a high symptom. Some folks just pray there for whatever reason. But those that are running do not want to be up here. Because they know this is where God talks. They know this is where things happen. They know this is where the Spirit of God is going to speak again to their heart, to their mind, to their soul. So who was not praying? Jonah. Jonah was not praying because he was running from God. And so Jonah come up with a great idea. He didn't even have to pray about it. Throw me in the water. And the men didn't want to do it because they knew that was suicide. You'll drown. Throw me in and it'll quit. Sure enough, bloosh. Threw him in, storm quit. I don't know if you try to put images in your mind, you know, of I see Jonah just sinking. No effort, not trying to swim. He's just thinking it's over. He's thinking he got his way. Thank God for grace. How many times have we personally thought we had our own way with God? And God didn't send a literal great fish, but God provided a way of escape that we weren't really looking for and possibly didn't even want, because we were bent on having our own way. We were bent on holding that grudge. We were bent on that unforgiveness. We were bent on that bitterness. I mean, we were bent on whatever it was that was causing us to go astray. We were bent on it, and we weren't changing. And yet God prepared something just for us personally. And here come the great fish. Swallowed him up. I got news for you. That wasn't a joyous ride. Not like the cartoons depicted of a large mouth whale that Jonah just sat there, you know, and built a fire and enjoyed himself while the whale was swimming through the water. No. This was just a great fish, and Jonah went right into the stomach of the whale, and right there was all the digestive acids of that creature. And Jonah was probably in a little bit of pain, a little bit in a misery, and he was probably wishing he was dead. But he wasn't. He's still alive. But it brought him to his senses. And right there, in the stomach of that fish, Jonah quit running and began to run. Changed the course of his life. Didn't get him the full victory yet, but he changed directions. Wow. Hallelujah. Even though this comes right out of the Old Testament in the story of Jonah, I personally, as a pastor, have witnessed this in the lives of men and women over the course of the last 20-some years, 29, 30 years, of men and women that run from God, find themselves in a circumstance and situation they have no way out of, and finally wake up and begin to run for God. Hallelujah. So you see, it's not just Jonah. It is the tendency of mankind to go astray. It is the tendency of the sheep to go astray. You see, we will go astray if we cannot get a grip on day by day. No grip on day by day, we will go astray. We do not have the power within ourselves to be righteous, to walk holy, to run the race that is set before us. That power comes from above. And that power and that anointing stays there. And I'm just kind of recapping some messages that we have preached here along the way. That anointing and that power is refreshed day by day. Fresh oil from the throne. That anointing of God, that Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the list could go on here. I mean, the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the anger of why he was running. As you go and you read about the prodigal son, it was his lust, his pleasures, his self-will, the reasons why he took everything and ran away from the Father's house, because he knew if he stayed in the Father's house, he couldn't do the things he wanted to do. And so he ran away from the Father's house. He ran out into that far country. He didn't want to be anywhere where anybody else was that were living right. He was thinking that's what was going to bring him joy and happiness and more friends. Whoa. Was he ever wrong? Oh, wow. Now, I got a question for you. Why do you think his money ran out? Why do you think nobody wanted to help him? Why do you think he was there eating slop with the hogs? Of that divine intervention of a heavenly Father, taking him to the very place he wanted to be and showing him very plainly, it ain't what you thought it was. It's exactly like the Father said it would be. Woo. That's not a I told you so attitude either. Sometimes we just got to come to the reality of how good God has been to us with the things he has provided for us before we will rise up and run the race that is set before us. Hallelujah. And so we see he ran and he went astray because of his lust, his pleasures, his self-will. Why did Saul of Tarsus reject Jesus Christ so many times? Why did the Apostle Paul? He became the Apostle Paul, but while he was still Saul, he was murdering Christians. And the whole time he was doing this, he knew down in his heart and his soul where the Spirit of God was speaking to him under that anointing of Stephen. He knew Jesus Christ was real. He knew he was the Savior of the world. He knew that's the direction he needed to go, but his pride would not let him turn. Oh my, his self-righteousness would not let him turn. His religious deception. He had been raised in the house of God. So what do I need to change for? You see, I'm at a disadvantage to deal with individuals who were raised in church, but never and maybe possibly not yet got the goods. Do you know you can be raised in church and still not have the goods? You can be raised in church all your life and still not be born again by the Spirit of God. You can be raised in a Pentecostal church and still not be filled with the Holy Ghost. Just being in church sometimes is not where it's at in the sense of what I need on the inside. Just hearing God's word doesn't really help sometimes because there's not a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And there's not a hunger and a thirst for righteousness because there's never been an encounter with Jesus Christ on a personal plane. It's just the common knowledge of who he is. Now, I can testify of that. For 18 years, 23 years of my life, I knew who Jesus Christ was. I knew everything that he had done, but I had not met him on that personal plane yet. I had not been born again by the Spirit of God. I had not had my sins washed away. And I did find out it's not a matter of trying to name them one by one. There is no way any individual on the face of the earth can name their sins one by one, because there's too many. Even those that are born into this world, they don't know their sins. A child sometimes doesn't know what sin is, but they still need a Savior. It's not a matter of knowing which sins you have committed. It's a matter of realizing your birth has birthed you a sinner. And the only way that that will change is if there's a new birth that brings me from that natural birth into that spiritual birth. Hallelujah. And so we see Saul of Tarsus had not yet been born again by the Spirit of God. He had great knowledge of God. He was raised in the greatest schools of the Old Testament era of time. A Pharisee of Pharisees. It was the religious deception. He thought because of everything that he had done, surely that's enough. You don't get to heaven and you don't get a transformed life by doing good works. Don't happen that way. Good works just follow those that belong to Christ. But those that are doing good works, trying to merit that favor with God, do not fully understand salvation. Salvation is that free gift because there's nothing you can do to get it. Christ paid it all. He paid it all. And so we see then he was running from God because of his pride, of his self-righteousness. This is what we can do. We do it as human beings a lot. We start running through our merit system. All right, well, I do this, and 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 I do this. And if you've ever run through your merit system, do you ever realize that you forget all the things you don't do? You know, you just keep running through the merits. Says, well, you know, I do this. I go to church on Sunday. You know, I go to Sunday school. I read my Bible. Every day I read my Bible. I do. But what about what you're not doing? Well, when we're trying to justify ourselves by our own self-righteousness, we don't want to look there because we're running the other direction. See, we're running. We're running from God. Because if you haven't found it out yet, God always brings us to the next step of what we need. And what we've already done, well, he says, forget that. It's done. Now let's press towards the prize. Let's press towards the high calling of God. Hallelujah, that is in Christ Jesus. So you and I are called to a higher plane. No matter who we are, no matter when we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we are all called to a higher plane to run the race that is set before us. We got to quit running. Quit running. You see, it happened even in the New Testament. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Paul's writing to the church there. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Ah. Have you ever seen it? Maybe in the lives of people, maybe in the lives of a friend. Seemed like they were on fire for God. Seemed like they were just really, really had a connection with Jesus Christ and walking with the Lord. And they were running with God, running for God, and then all of a sudden, now all their characteristics are running from God. That sheep that went astray. And it happened to the Galatian church, not just one individual, it happened to the whole church. It said, you did run well. Who? Did you notice what he said? Who did hinder you? Who started lying to you? Who started telling you that wasn't truth? Who did hinder you? Because you know that persuasion is not coming from God, because it's leading you to run from God. Do you realize that wherever you go in this society, there's always going to be someone who wants to challenge your faith. There's always going to be someone who wants to ridicule you to see just how much of a, excuse me and please don't be offended, how much of a coward you are. Yeah. Because see, that's what the enemy wants to find out. Are you courageous or are you a coward? And see, nobody wants to think they're a coward. Anybody in here want to think you're a coward? But I'll tell you this, there's been times I've been a coward. There's been times when I should have stood up and I should have witnessed to someone, but I didn't do it because I was fearful. Brother Pepper, you? I can't know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're all human, church. We're all human. And there's times I've been a coward. I just didn't do it like I should have done it. Sometimes I did it the way I wanted to do it because I was mad. And see, that's actually a coward. Because I didn't want to face my own problems, and thus it affected someone else. And that's a coward. That's why the Bible says, be courageous. Rise up, play the man. Deal with yourself, and you won't have any problems dealing with other people. Quit running and run. Hallelujah. You see, it happens, church. It's just been part of the church history. That's why Jesus Christ began to pin it down. He began to let us know that if we are not mindful and we begin to neglect this great salvation, we will go astray. Just because we've come to Jesus doesn't mean it's an automatic everything smooth. Really to the contrary. When we come to Jesus, it seems like we have to fight harder than we ever have. How many have found in your walk with Jesus Christ, the harder the battle, the sweeter the victory? Why? Because we have chosen to run. We've quit running, and we have chosen to run. Psalm 119:32, once again, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Wow. Praise God. How does God enlarge our hearts? How many enjoyed the presence of God in our services here of late? How God would come down and encourage your heart, encourage your soul, strengthen you, give you confidence, refresh you, and give you a determination fresh and anew. You know what he just did? He enlarged your heart so that you could run the way of his commandment. Hallelujah. You see, this is the wonderful thing about God's plan of salvation. He is all over it. Hallelujah. He is right on target. Hallelujah. He is mindful of every individual in his vast kingdom, and he knows exactly where every one of us are at and what spiritual plane we're on and what battles we're fighting. I mean, there's not one thing that he does not know about your life and my life. Hallelujah. And he is just waiting for you and I to call on his name so that we can run the race that is set before us and quit running from what God wants to work in us. Hallelujah. You see, this is the joy of our salvation, is that God continually keeps working in our lives and keeps leading in our lives and keeps us going forward in the kingdom of God, that our joy may be full. I don't know about you, but I've always found when disobedience comes into my life, I have no joy. Joy is not found in disobedience. But I have also found that when I am obedient unto the Spirit of God and unto the Word of God, that I've got joy. Woo, and I've got great joy. Praise God, because there's no greater joy than being right in the middle of the will of God for your life. Woo, hallelujah. No greater joy. None whatsoever. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, now we need to take heed to the examples that we have seen here this morning. Whether it's a sheep going astray, whether it was Jonah running from God, whether it's a prodigal, whether it was Paul. We got to quit running, and we got to start to run when that Spirit of God begins to draw us closer to Christ. See, that's the love of God. That's the grace of God. That's the mercies of God. When he begins to move in our heart, move in our mind, to show us hindrances, deception, lies, and just sometimes a part of us that he wants to renovate and make new. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Patience. Joyful endurance. Let me remember that definition of patience. Joyful endurance. Hallelujah. Knowing that God is on my side. Knowing that God is leading me. Knowing that God is working in me. Why? Because verse number 2, I am looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Just remember that. When those gainsayers come around and try to destroy your faith in God, rise up and stand for Jesus Christ, because that is nothing compared to what he endured for our redemption. Arm ourselves with this mind. Hallelujah. Look to Jesus, because he's alive and well. We're coming up on Resurrection Sunday. Jesus Christ is not in a tomb. He's not a has-been. He's not a used to be. He is alive and well, and he is the second person of the triune God. And he's just as alive as you are right now. He's got a glorified body. We're going to get one. Hallelujah. But he's alive, and he is a well, and he is real as real can be. But you will only know him by a spiritual encounter. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of God. By looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He said, lay aside every weight. How do we know what the weight is? Well, the Holy Ghost is going to show us. How are we going to know what the sin is? You know, there has been so many that has tried to figure out what sin he's talking about. He's just talking about sin. I'm sorry, but I have. I've got engaged in debates of what sin is that? It's a sin of pride. Well, if that's what you got, that's what it is. Well, that's that sin of fornication. Well, if that's what you're doing, that's what it is. Are you getting the picture? It's not per se one sin. It's just like we have a sin nature. Well, which sin nature is it? Woo! Can you see how quick you can get off trying to really delve into some depth of God's Word that the Holy Ghost is not revealing? Amen. It's sin. Any sin that you're committing is keeping you from running the race. Any weight, that's those things that are not necessarily sin. How about that individual that you're running around with who doesn't believe in God, and he's got more persuasion on you than God does? Cast it aside. Now, are you getting the picture? You see, whatever the Spirit of God begins to lay his hand on, cast it aside and run the race that is set before you. How do I know what the race is? The Holy Ghost is going to show you the race to run. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, this is the glorious thing about salvation. This is why I'm so excited about my salvation, because everything about salvation comes from God. And so my victory comes from God. My revelation of my sin comes from God. My revelation of what I need to be doing comes from God. God's word has been provided. I mean, everything about my salvation, God has provided everything that I'm going to need to walk with him, to know him, and be empowered by him. I mean, there's nothing lacking in God's plan of salvation except the willingness of man. The willingness of man. I don't remember exactly which great man of God said this. Maybe it was Jim Elliot. It still remains to be seen what God can do with one individual who will fully surrender himself or herself to God. Because God needs vessels. That's how he designed his kingdom, to be filled with men and women who are walking with him and running the race that has been set before them. Hallelujah. Psalms 18:29. It says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. I love that portion of scripture. Hallelujah. Because then when I read that portion of scripture, my mind just runs to the victories that God has wrought over the years, because I ran for him. Because I would run the race that was set before me. Because I would be obedient to the Spirit of God. And because God's word direct my paths. Then God moved with his might. God moved with his power. Hallelujah. I don't reminisce in what used to be 100 years ago. I can reminisce on everything that's transpired in my short 35 years of Christianity. That's a short years, really, compared to eternity, of what God has done, the great things God has done. Hallelujah. Testimony after testimony, situation after situation of the miraculous power of God and the hand of God, from preserving life, keeping life, protecting life, healing by... I've seen that in my Christianity. Have you seen it in yours? not boasting and bragging about myself. I'm just kind of being like the Apostle Paul. It's real. Hallelujah. And it's not real to me because of someone else's experience. It's real to me because I've seen it. Hallelujah. I've experienced it, and I've been there. Hallelujah. When the power of God has moved and healed and miracles were performed. I've been there. I've done that, so to speak. Hallelujah. By the power and the grace of God, because I was willing to be there where He wanted me to be. Hallelujah. Do you realize that miracles are only going to happen when somebody's ready to exercise the gift of miracles? We're praying. God, bring miracles. God, bring miracles. You need to quit praying that way. You need to start praying. God, use me in the gift of miracles. God, use me in the gifts of healings. God, use me by your Spirit. God, anoint me by your... Are you getting the picture? We're asking God to do something He's already provided for if somebody would just be a vessel. Whew. Be careful. Because you'll want everybody else to be that vessel except you. There is a tendency that's very popular. They just want the pastor to be that vessel. I'm doing my best to be that vessel. I'm ready for any gift God wants to give me. Hallelujah. I'm ready. I'm ready. I am ready. But are you? Because it's not a one-man show. It's not a one-woman show. It's a church that's anointed of the Holy Ghost, ready to be used by the Spirit of God. Are you ready? Hallelujah. Are you running the race that is set before you? Are you running from God? Hallelujah. You see, I'm going to go ahead and close. I've got a few more scriptures, but I'm going to go ahead and close. I don't know how this is going to work. Anybody's ever heard of Jim Thorpe? Anybody ever heard of Jim Thorpe? He was a Native American that earned a couple gold medals in 1912 Olympics. It ain't happening. Oh, well, maybe it will. She may get up a picture, Jim Thorpe, that will explain what I'm fixing to read. Is it going to work or not? Is it up there? All right. This is Jim Thorpe. Notice what he has on his feet. Two different shoes and different socks. Now I'm going to tell you the story behind this picture. He said, this is Jim Thorpe. Look closely at the photo. You can see that he's wearing different socks and shoes. This wasn't a fashion statement. It was the 1912 Olympics, and Jim, an American Indian from Oklahoma, represented the U.S. in track and field. Thorpe began the Olympics by crushing the field in a now-defunct pentathlon, which consisted of five events in one single day. He placed first in four of those events and dusted his competition in the 1,500-meter run by almost 5 seconds. Now, a week later, there was a three-day decathlon competition, and it began in the pouring rain. Thorpe opened the event by splashing down the track in a 100-meter dash in 11.2 seconds, and a time not equaled at the Olympics until 1948. Now, mind you, he ran in water and mud. Wow. We're going somewhere with this. On the second day, that's what happened the second day. Thorpe's shoes came up missing. His track coach hastily put together a mismatched pair in time for the high jump, which Thorpe won. Later that afternoon came one of the favorite events, the 110-meter hurdles, and Thorpe blistered the track in 15.6 seconds, again quicker than Bob Mathias, who ran in 1948. So on the second day, somebody stole his shoes. Because he was smoking them bad. And so his coach come up with one shoe, and they dug the other shoe out of the trash. And the shoe on his left foot was too big, so he put on extra socks. And thus wearing these shoes, he wore these shoes for 2 days in competition. and won 2 gold medals. Now, what's your excuse for not running for God? Because whatever excuse you may have, it's probably pretty weak. Because if we look to the author and the finisher of our faith, you see, if Jim Thorpe can overcome the circumstances of his situation in a natural realm, oh, how much more can you and I, by the power of the living God? Whatever weaknesses we may think we have, God will make them our strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, that's the reality. You don't have to quit. You don't have to give up. Now, what if Jim Thorpe would have taken the position that we take when things aren't going real good for our scenarios? I mean, here he is running in the Olympics. His shoes come up missing. I guess he could have run barefoot. He probably still would have won. Why? Because he had some determination, evidently. He had that old word, pluck. I like that when Oswald Chambers uses that. You got to have some pluck. You got to have some reality. So even though he didn't have his own shoes, and the one shoe didn't even fit right, he still got out there and gave 100% and won the U.S. 2 gold medals. He actually won the majority of the events that he participated in. 2 days worth. The 1,500-meter run. I don't know how many miles that is, but they say it's a long run, and it's a very, very torturing run. And by the time you get to the end of it, your legs are burning. Your lungs are burning. And he won that race, and he beat everybody by 5 seconds wearing those shoes. He was quite the athlete. He was called America's greatest athlete at that point in time. But what I'm after here this morning is bringing us the reality of the power that is available to you and I to run the race God has called us to run. We've got to rise up, church. Because the truth of the matter is we've all ran from God. More times than I really want to count or confess to, I've run from God. I just didn't think I could do what he was asking me to do. And so I would run. I would go the different direction. But it didn't take very long to find out that that was not a way that was going to lead to victory. That was not a way that I was going to get a, per se, gold medal from my God. Was not going to find favor with my God when I was running from my God. And I had to take and quit running, turn, surrender, and begin to run the race that he was setting before me. Hallelujah. The list could go on and on. Now, we've already talked about the things of why we run from God. Pride, self-righteousness, spiritual deception, lust, self-will, bitterness, unforgiveness. And the list could go on and on and on of those things we harbor in our hearts. Criticalness. That's a rough one right there a lot of times. Because we're not looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. Criticalness comes when we're looking around at everybody else and we start thinking, well, they're not running like they ought to run. They're not doing what they ought to do. They're not playing their part. And we forget so quickly when we allow that mind frame to be in our mind, we ain't playing our part. You see, if we're looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, we're only looking, am I fulfilling my part? Am I running my race? Am I doing what God wants me to do? Hallelujah. And once again, it's got to be day by day, or I'll never be able to run this race that is set before me. unless I run it day by day. Believe it or not, when I was in high school, stand with me if you would, I could run a 7-minute mile, Brother Timmy. We had to. We couldn't go home until we did. Run a 7-minute mile. Yeah, I couldn't run a 7-minute mile right now. Not at all. But you know, if my life depended on it, I'd start running until I could. And a lot of times God's asking us for a corner of our heart, a part of our life. And we'll tell him, well, Lord, I just can't live there. I can't do that. Well, you're not realizing that your life depends on it. Because he's calling you to that higher plane, that higher place, that closer walk. He's calling you from running to run. And I have to come up with the decision, Lord, I know I can't do it, but by your grace, I'm going to start running that direction until I can. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I'm just going to run towards what you're calling me to run towards. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Lift your hands unto the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. You can make that decision right there. Hallelujah. As you lift your hands unto the Lord, you know exactly what God's talking to you about. I have no clue. I have no idea unless God gives me a word of knowledge. Hallelujah. A word of wisdom. Unless God reveals it to me. I have no idea where you're at in your run with God. But I know the Holy Ghost does. And I know this message was for this morning and it was for us. Hallelujah. It was for Calvary Lighthouse Church. Hallelujah. And anybody watching via Facebook. Hallelujah. As the Spirit of God begins to move and roll over our souls and begins to renew our minds and begins to show us. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, God of heaven, we rejoice in your grace. We rejoice in your mercy. We rejoice in your kindness, oh, God. The love that you have for your sheep. Hallelujah. Lord, if one goes astray, you'll leave that 99 and you'll go and begin to rescue that one that's going the wrong direction, going the wrong places, doing the wrong things. God, that love, that compassion, Lord, and you will find them and you will bring them back. Hallelujah. Oh, glory and honor and praise be given unto the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, for the power. Oh, glory to your holy name. Glory to your holy name. Hallelujah. These altars are open here this morning. Hallelujah. If you want to come find a place of prayer, then come. Hallelujah. Enter into the presence of your God. Enter into that covenant fresh and anew. Enter into that commitment fresh and anew. Enter into that surrender brand new for this day. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to our God. Holy is our God and merciful is our God.
To yours, Lord.